What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Welcome to It's Debatable, where every week students from the Department of International Relations at the University of Malta discuss a hot topic from current affairs. I am May Sayem, and I will be your host for the next half an hour. Today our topic for debate deals with the nuclear rights in the context of the current tensions in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. With me are international relations students Maria Carmen Farrugia and Mark Abdullah, who will be involved in the primary discussion. We will also be joined by Dr. Anna Kaki, who lectures on conflict resolution and development issues at the University of Malta. The current tensions between Iran and Israel are definitely a high-profile concern of the international community at the current time. The various factors which surround both states, as well as the fear of them using nuclear arsenals against each other, present a situation not seen since the Cold War, and beg the question whether a state should be allowed to develop nuclear power and how this can have an effect on both human rights and the stability of the region. Dr. Kaki, welcome to our show today. Could you please be kind enough and give us a brief introduction to the topic?
Yes. Iran and Israel are currently sworn enemies. Iran's current president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, denies Israel's very right to exist and has even denied the Holocaust and invited people denying the Holocaust to give conferences and talks in Iran. Israel, for its part, is thought to be responsible for a number of attacks targeting persons and facilities linked to Iran's nuclear program. The last killing occurred less than a week ago. So clearly the topic of this week's debate is an important one and very topical, so I think it's great that you're doing this. I would perhaps be a bit hesitant about the title of nuclear rights. Do states really have nuclear rights? Current international norms seem to put opprobrium on any state outside as well as inside the NPT pursuing nuclear weapons. The point that I would like to make in this brief introduction is that although Iran and Israel are currently enemies, they share some very important similarities. They are both in a region, the Middle East, which are dominated by Arab countries, and of course neither Iran nor Israel is Arab. Also, they have a different religion in part or entirely to other states. The Middle East is currently still dominated by Sunni Islam, and Iran is dominated by Shia Islam, and Israel, of course, is a Jewish state. And both Shia Islam and Judaism is viewed with great suspicion by the dominant Sunni Islamist countries. Both Iran and Israel can look back on a very ancient and rich and refined cultural heritage, which is really outstanding. They are also, neither of the countries share the dominant Sunni Islam of most countries in the region. Iran is dominated by Shia Islam, and Israel is, of course, a Jewish state. And this, both religions are viewed with suspicion by other countries in the Middle East. More importantly for our discussions today, both Iran and Israel are at the margins in certain respects of the international communities. They are seen with suspicion by many countries in the world, and both countries feel misunderstood and threatened by the outside world. In Iran and Israel, and not only among politicians but also within the public at large, the outside world is seen as hostile to them and as a threat. And this is, of course, also why both countries are so keen on pursuing nuclear weapons. It's been proven very difficult to break this siege mentality that is prevailing in certain segments of the population in both Iran and Israel, and it's unclear whether the international community knows how to break this mentality and whether it has been really willing to try to break this siege mentality. So I hope that the participants in this debate will be able to discuss this and many other issues related to the development of nuclear weapons within the larger Middle East. Thanks.
Well, Dr. Kaki, thank you so much for your contribution. That was really insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you think about the current situation regarding the right of nuclear capability in the Middle East, Mark?
Israel and Iran are arguably two of the most powerful states in the Middle East region. Ever since the revolution of Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, there has been a growing tension between the two states, mainly due to the new regime's support of the Palestinian entity. Before this revolution, there was actually a connection between the Jewish and Persian societies, but with the creation of the Islamic Republic, this relationship has been destroyed. Definitely, the current situation is not a positive one. Both states are not popular within the international system, but with Iran carrying abysmal relations with many Western states, and Israel carrying its own controversy due to the Arab-Israeli conflict. Over the last number of months, the tensions between Iran and Israel have extended considerably, as suspicions of Iran developing nuclear weapons have risen. The United Nations reports have claimed that Iran is currently following a nuclear weapons program, although Iran itself has obviously denied these claims. Israel, in the meantime, is known to possess nuclear weapons, and this leads to a definite security dilemma within the entire region.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Now, Maria, would you like to comment about the security dilemma found in the Middle East caused by the current Iranian and Israeli situation as suggested?
I think that the security dilemma has not only led to tensions within the Middle East region, but also outside the Middle East region. The UN is acting as a watchdog over Iran in order to prove that Iran has been secretly investing in developing a nuclear weapons capability. Evidence includes that Iran made computer models of a nuclear warhead. Iran officials are sustaining that the International Atomic Energy Agency report is a fabrication. Tensions have increased as Israel has been insisting upon the fact that the military option is drawing nearer to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons. Despite this great concern drawn up by Israel, one must also take in consideration the fact that Israel possesses nuclear weapons. In 2010, confidential South African documents brought into light the fact that Israel offered to sell nuclear warheads to the apartheid regime. Unlike Iran, Israel is assumed to make use of nuclear weapons in a responsible way.
Okay, regarding NPT, how do these states relate to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty?
Well, let us first look at what exactly the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is. The aim of the NPT is to avoid a nuclear war by discouraging the proliferation of nuclear weaponry and encouraging the peaceful use of nuclear technology. But what makes the situation interesting in the Middle East is the fact that Iran signed and ratified the treaty whilst under the Shah. Israel, however, has never signed the treaty by continuously calling the NPT a treaty of hypocrisy. Iran also faces a dilemma with regards to the NPT, since it was signed under the Shah. The new regime can very easily decide not to respect the treaty, as many suspect it is doing today. However, Iran has not withdrawn itself from the NPT, as North Korea has done. Israel itself feels discriminated against, since pressure is being imposed on it to join the NPT, while this pressure is not being imposed on India and Pakistan.
Now, before we stop for a short break, Maria Carmen, does the Iranian regime change affect Iran's standing within the NPT?
The NPT regime is crucial in avoiding the spread of nuclear weapons to an increasing number of states. Like every other similar government, Iran's ruling elite are concerned about the importance of self-preservation. In fact, they are always finding arguments to justify their hostilities towards USA and their allies. Therefore, a change in the Iranian regime will mean that Iran will shift towards a more liberal state. Indeed, Iran is presenting itself as a dangerous force by uttering threats against American ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Apart from that, Iran is also a national security problem for President Obama, and he has failed to find any solutions for this threat. Last November, Tony Blair called for a regime change in Iran, as he blamed Tehran for worsening the situation of the Iraqi conflict after the 2003 invasion. He further argued that a regime change in Tehran will eventually give optimistic results in the region. Apart from experiencing tensions in its relations with other countries, Iran is also experiencing an internal crisis, which paralyzed its decision-making in Tehran. As a result, this harmed the confidence-building deal, which might have led to a suitable environment for nuclear diplomacy. Therefore, the Iranian regime change might result in reducing the suspicions towards Iran. In fact,
Countries are so suspicious about Iran that intelligence sources assume that if Iran decided to go out of the NPT, there could have been the possibility that Iran could have at least one workable weapon within a year, and a few more about 6 months after that. Nevertheless, there is also the possibility that Iran's leaders might not decide to follow this path, since developments in Iran are less influenced by Iran's technical and industry capabilities rather than by politics. Israelis are anxious about the Iran's nuclear capability, as they fear a theocratic regime based on the Shia regime, which might not be deterred by a nuclear balance of terror.
Thank you so much. We'll stop for a short break for now and we'll continue after.
While you see it your way, but a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out.
Welcome back to It's Debatable. Today our topic of debate is the Iranian crisis. With us on the studio is Dr. Simon Mercio, Director of Mediterranean Institute. Welcome with us to the show. Dr. Mercio, could you please give us your perspective on the matter and its importance within the Mediterranean scene?
If we look at history, we find that Iran had a different name in the past. It was called Persia. And if you look at the classical history, we have always this nation pushing forward to the Mediterranean. There were wars in the Mediterranean. They won wars, they lost them. But something that happened, that these wars, they are to a certain extent, not certain extent, they are still there in the sense of a collective memory of national pride. Persia, or Iran today, is a nation, in my opinion, which where nationality, or nationalism, better, still count. And behind this, I think there's also a reason for which I will come later to. Therefore, there is this point, nationalism. And you find always when this country is faced by crisis, the image of nationalism is used. Then we have another factor nowadays. In a sense, Iran or the people of Persia are not Arabs. And this is another important point. The presence of Israel brings this war to the Mediterranean. Without doubt. If there was no Israel in the middle, perhaps, I don't know, this war would not have any impact or influence, at least, on the Mediterranean in appearance. Israel is, as I said, a democracy. But I think it's the only ambivalent democracy in Europe, if one would like to consider Israel as a European state, and not in Asia, geographically, but at least Europeans consider Israel as, well, at least up to the issue of Eurovision as European, but then the Israeli or the Palestinian call Israel as the 52 state of America. Well, that's another issue, but it's still very important, which is a theocracy. The concepts in Israel are concepts of being a Jew. It was only in the 19th century, and incidentally, the Zionists were part of it, and they believed in it originally, where they began to talk about racial differences. And the Jews themselves spoke that they, even racially, were different from the rest. And then, obviously, this exploded against them, unfortunately, with a big tragedy in the Second World War. Therefore, we have the state. The state is very democratic for the Jews. But then, it's extremely anti-democratic when it comes to their people living in Israel. This is already the first problem. And here, in my opinion, Iran is using this issue of the Palestinians, which is an issue to a certain extent that it does not belong to the Iranians, because as I said before, when we come to the theory of race, the Iranians are not Arabs, but the Palestinians in their majority are Muslim. And I think the Iranians, or Ahmadinejad, he's using it even to boost his nationalistic feelings. And why also he's using it, in my opinion, to Iran under this regime, which came into power, as we know, in the revolution of Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979. Obviously, economically is not doing well, and in particular from 2008, is doing badly. And to a certain extent, I believe that there is an element of rhetoric within this country to boost up the morale of, to a certain extent, this regime. And to that point, I think the West is, I don't know, whether it's doing a good calculation or is doing a big miscalculation. And in fact, if you look at the international debate and the current news at the moment, is whether it's good, this crisis, how is going this crisis to affect, whether Iran is bluffing or not, or being serious or not. Then, obviously, there is the issue of nuclear power. Okay, Iran is going to have nuclear power. But Israel also has ready nuclear power. There is no doubt that Israel is pushing the agenda to a certain extent of war. There is no doubt also that this agenda of war happens at a time in the United States where we're going to have elections, and at a time in the United States where the Obama administration proved itself a little bit successful, or successful, in the sense it succeeded to pull out the military from Iraq. And now it seems that in Iraq the situation is calming down, and also to kill
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Mm-hmm. And for this was extremely a great success. And definitely, these 2 points in the international policy of Obama, he took the carpet from under the feet of the Republicans. Obviously, as I said in the beginning, we are in front of a war of perception. If you come and tell me, whom do you believe most, or whom do you trust most, Israel or Iran? To be honest with you, perhaps due to my media, and even despite the negative experiences that I had even in Israel itself, which is horrible even to go out of that country, still I think I would be more secure with Israel than with Iran. Obviously, how bellicose is going to be Iran? This is another issue. And if there's going to be a war, I'm sure if there's going to be a war, the United States is going to win. But is that going to be a Pyrrhic victory, as it happened in the classical times to the Iranians themselves, when they invaded the Mediterranean, when still called Persia? In the terms of Europe, I think this is the question, and now is the question of the Mediterranean. In front of such a war, what's going to happen? Are the alliances going to change? Because obviously, if we're going to have such a war, we're going to have a situation where the price of oil is going to go up. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of states in Europe who get their energy, their fossil fuels, from Iran. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if there's going to be this crisis, the fuel oil is going to go up. What this would mean? Probably it would mean, as already is happening, that the European is moving more and more towards Russia. And to a certain extent, at the moment, you see a sort of an alliance where we have Russia and China backing Iran. We have Syria also backing Iran, but Syria is now in big trouble, or Iran backing Syria. With such a war, the loser is going to be Israel and America, in the sense that the hatred or the spirit of revenge or the spirit of antagonism in the Middle East towards Israel is going to increase.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Mauricio.
Thank you for inviting.
Welcome back to this episode of It's Debatable, a platform for discussion for the Syrians of the University of Malta. Today we're discussing the nuclear race in the context of the current tensions in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. Now back to you, Maria. Do you think that the states should possess the right to develop nuclear energy?
Nowadays, there has been an increasing concern among countries in reassessing their energy policies, as countries are more concerned than ever about the future of fossil fuels, and they are also concerned more than ever about global warming. The OECD and NEA has been bringing world specialists together to carry out scientific studies so that policymakers can eventually establish both nuclear and energy policies. The early 1970s oil crisis drew the country's attention investing in nuclear power plant construction. Therefore, I agree that states should possess the right to develop nuclear energy. Moreover, Iran is currently assuring the world that it will not make a nuclear bomb. In 2010, then, the Iranian President Ahmadinejad declared indeed that nuclear weapons were a fire against humanity. Iran has very small amount of uranium resources. In fact, Iran purchased 450 tons of uranium from South Africa in the early 1980s. Iran's nuclear program is one of the most controversial issues. On the one hand, Iran sustains the idea that the aim of building a nuclear plant is to generate electricity in order not to be any longer dependent on oil supply. On the other, European and American officials believe that Tehran is projecting to build nuclear weapons through this nuclear program. The USA, together with other Western countries, have imposed sanctions over Tehran's nuclear program as they believe that this nuclear program is being used to develop atomic weapons. Tensions are indeed at their peak, as Iran has also renewed its warning towards the USA regarding the US naval presence in the Oil Ridge Gulf.
Okay, and what do you comment about Israel regarding the issue of nuclear power?
When compared to Iran, Israel seems to be a little hesitant in what regards nuclear energy since last year's Japan's disaster. In fact, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has admitted that due to last year's Japan's nuclear crisis, Israel is reconsidering whether or not to build a nuclear plant. Israel prefers, indeed, to invest in natural gas rather than in nuclear power plants. This shows that the issue whether states should adopt nuclear energy tends to be quite a contradictory issue, which needs to be examined as nuclear energy can serve as a protection towards the environment, but at the same time it can also impose several risks.
Okay, Mike, do you have any comments about the risks imposed by the nuclear power plants? Should states possess the right to develop nuclear energy, in your opinion?
Unfortunately, I don't agree with this. Any nuclear program focused on the development and use of nuclear energy will present the danger of the program spilling over into weapon development. One must realize that in the end, a state will care for its own interests and not on what the international system wants. If the state is threatened by another state, it will retaliate to protect itself, and in certain cases, a state would resort to nuclear weapons, as they are a definite way of destroying another state. The NPT itself supports the peaceful use of nuclear energy. However, I personally see this as being a misjudgment on the part of the international community. Nuclear power and the development of nuclear energy and nuclear weaponry not only present a threat to neighboring states, however, it could very well threaten human rights within the state itself. In Iran itself, human rights issues are quite evident. The situation is described as a case of nuclear terror being imposed on the Iranian population. Beyond Nuclear, a movement working against the utilization of nuclear power altogether, has frequently claimed that nuclear power violates human rights. Interestingly, Israel itself identifies human rights as a deterrent to all nuclear programs.
Okay. But would demilitarization eventually be an effective solution in avoiding a nuclear conflict?
I do not agree with the notion that raising the arsenals of both Iran and Israel would allow for good conflict management. Demilitarization is all about decreasing the military power of a state as much as possible. Whilst it is true that during the Cold War period there was reluctance on the part of the two superpowers to attack each other, I believe the situation between Israel and Iran is so critical for such a maneuver. Demilitarization is a hard endeavor, however. No state in the world is ready to downgrade its security, especially a country like Israel, which perceives its neighbors as enemies. Israel harbors a siege mentality, making it even more prone to continually develop its own arsenal. There has also been the fear of a Third World War breaking out should Iran be attacked. The USA is an obvious supporter of Israel, and China recently declared it would not hesitate to support Iran should the Islamic Republic be attacked. This means, in the end, that demilitarization is a better option and would be less risky. However, it will be difficult to achieve, since both states have controversial positions within the globalist system, and would be very cautious about their own security.
Maria, Mark has described demilitarization as a better option and less risky. Do you have any comments regarding that?
In this current issue, states are very suspicious towards each other, so demilitarization seems to be a difficult option to be adopted. On the one hand, Israel reckons that Iran have the potential to develop nuclear weapons within a few months. On the other, Iran has been failing in gaining the Israeli trust. Israel fears that a nuclear-armed Iran might lead to great changes in the Middle East region. Iran might become dominant, whilst America might be weakened. Whilst Iran insists that it uses nuclear energy for the generation of electricity, Iran still is suspected of using its nuclear energy for the construction of nuclear weapons. Robert Einhorn, an American diplomat, argued that Iran is becoming a pariah state. And indeed, Iran is very evidently distrusted by the Gulf shikdims. Furthermore, demilitarization seems to be a very problematic issue, and it is very difficult to find another possible solution. Sanctions might seem to be an alternative to demilitarization. However, those who are in favor of military strikes argue that sanctions will not work. Those in favor of sanctions argue, on the other hand, that sanctions might work, but they might increase instability in the region, as this might encourage Iranian protests against the government. Therefore, self-interest is not the only notion taken into consideration when arguing about demilitarization and sanctions.
And do you have any additional comments regarding the right of nuclear capability as reflected in Iran and Israel?
The nuclear threat, which is currently dominating the Middle East, is staggering. It has accelerated tensions between the two states, with two Security Council members getting involved on opposite sides. It has raised talks of a possible Third World War on the horizon, although one cannot really make such predictions. How would you go about avoiding the tensions from escalating to an all-out war? I believe two things are needed. Firstly, there must be a clear idea of what exactly Iran's nuclear program consists of, and the readiness to act, to actually come to some sort of agreement, should nuclear weapon development be found. Secondly, I also believe that Israel should sign and ratify the NPT in order to start a hopeful demilitarization process. I ultimately do not agree that states should possess the right to utilize and develop nuclear power. The humanitarian risks are too grand, and there is always the chance of a devastating conflict to erupt through nuclear development and the security dilemma it creates.
In closure, Maria Carmen, do you have any additional comments to conclude this debate?
The right of nuclear capability in the Iranian and Israeli case is a vast issue. This issue has been raising great tensions between Israel and Iran, based on mutual distrust. Apart from that, there have been great tensions between the USA and Iran over Tehran's nuclear program. The military confrontation between Iran and the USA would leave great impacts on the markets, as the supply of oil on the market will be very limited. It is crucial to outline the fact that although the right of nuclear capability is a military issue, it might also affect the global economy. Iran has been threatening the USA to close the Strait of Hormuz if the US Navy moves an aircraft carrier back into the Gulf region. This would lead to high oil prices due to the lack of oil supply on the market. Therefore, an Israeli attack on Iran together with the Eurozone crisis would mean a great disaster to the global economy. All in all, the right of nuclear capability have brought a lot of controversies in the world arena due to mutual distrust, and therefore it is a difficult issue to resolve.
Okay, thank you, Mark and Maria Carmen. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have for today. On behalf of the team behind this debatable, I would like to thank our academic advisor, Dr. Anna Kaki, and I would also like to thank our radio technician, Carmen Nogrek. I am Mae Sayem. I thank you for tuning in and hope you will join us again next week. Until then, keep updated.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mirsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.